Right now, symphony goers are accustomed to certain formalities. They're used to seeing members of the orchestra all dressed up in formal gowns and tuxes. So when the LA Philharmonic ushered in casual Fridays, allowing musicians to wear whatever they please, some patrons were surprised to discover that their beloved musicians were fashion challenged. So armed with a crew of stylists, LA Times columnist Joel Stein sought to give the LA Philharmonic a fashion makeover. Today we talked to him about the results, and we'd love to hear from you. Have you ever participated in a makeover? What were the circumstances and how did it feel? Give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, or send us an email to talk@npr.org. And joining us now is Joel Stein. He's a columnist for the LA Times and author of the op-ed Casual Friday at the LA Phil. He joins us from his office, his home office in Hollywood, California. Good to have you with us, Joel.
Oh, thank you. You guys don't cover enough makeovers. I think NPR in general doesn't do enough makeover stories, so I'm glad to be part of this.
You're going to have to work. It's kind of visual, so you're going to have to help us with this, you know.
Yeah, Tyra is eating you guys up on this, so okay. I'm glad you guys are in the game.
First of all, why did the LA Philharmonic decide it was a good idea to go casual in the first place on Fridays?
Well, it's a whole deal of them trying to attract some younger audience members. So they have, it's an hour long, the whole thing, and there's no intermission. And then you are encouraged to hang out at the bar with the orchestra members afterwards. So it's supposed to be a little younger and more fun.
So and what? How did you know regulars at the symphony react to this? What did you start to hear about?
Most people have subscriptions. So like 60% of the people don't even know it's Casual Friday. They just show up in their normal clothes and are surprised that the orchestra members aren't wearing tuxes.
So what kinds of information was dribbling back to you as a columnist about what people were wearing?
Well, I had some friends who worked over there, and she showed me some pictures without revealing who my source is, because, you know, I'd go to jail for this one.
Right.
But, yeah, she showed me some pictures, and there were literally fanny packs, and I'm not a great dresser myself, but I knew I wouldn't wear a fanny pack or Hawaiian shirts, and there were guys with socks and sandals, a lot of those kind of, I saw one woman with like a pull-up elastic pants.
Uh-huh.
It was not a good scene. You know, when you've been doing this since, you know, you've been in high school, you've got your outfits for concerts, like four nights a week, and then you've got some sweats and jeans in your closet, and there's not much in between.
And I wonder if people were sort of getting distracted from the music, looking at the orchestra in their real clothes.
Yeah, they lost a lot of their authority, I think. They lost a lot of their, you know, when you see people in their tuxes and gowns, you kind of assume that they're, you know, some kind of European upper-class citizens who know classical music. And when they're reduced to their Hawaiian shirts, they just look like band geeks.
So you, Joel Stein, decide they need a makeover, right?
I do charity work. That's what I do mostly.
How did you go about doing this? How did you get this started, anyway?
I know a guy who used to be a stylist who now provides gift lounges and gift bags for big events. And so he kind of, I put him in charge and he took over.
All right, well, was there any resistance on the part of members of the orchestra?
Yeah, I didn't get all my first choices. There were a couple of the really worst dressers who didn't want to play along.
Who were just insulted, I guess.
And then some second choices.
Well, how did you select the musicians? I mean, how did you go about figuring out who you wanted to make over?
Well, the people I'd seen with the worst outfits were my first choices. And we did get one of those. And the other ones wouldn't agree. They were too embarrassed. So we got some people who were bad dressers, but not as bad as the ones that some of whom I saw. Hoping this rubs off, though. They'll see these cool new outfits we got them.
Well, were they insulted? I mean, did they get mad when you said, we think you're a really bad dresser and want to give you a makeover? Or?
No, I didn't ask them directly. I got someone else to, because I'm a wimp. But they seemed to handle it pretty well. They just didn't want all the attention.
All right. And what was the process like? How did you start this whole process once you had selected the musicians?
Took them to a store called M. Frederick down in, this one was in the Valley. They have a couple in Southern California. And we asked them to come in what they were planning on wearing on Friday. And then we tried to get things that they feel comfortable in but would look better in.
All right. Well, we have one of the lucky musicians who was chosen to receive a fashion makeover. He's going to join us now, David Alan Moore, with the L.A. Philharmonic and an adjunct assistant professor of music at USC. And he joins us from our bureau in Culver City, California. Welcome, David.
Oh, hello.
Well, what kind of what kind of clothes do the members of the orchestra usually wear on Casual Friday? Is it really as bad as Joel is telling us?
I don't know. I think it's everyone's very cleanly and appropriately dressed, maybe not very fashion forward, but it's definitely not unsightly. That's the best way I can characterize it.
Were you surprised when Joel approached you?
Usually we're so focused on the task at hand. It's kind of nice actually to be in the kind of position where you don't have to think about what you're wearing, that normally you just wear, tails or a suit or something like that. And you can put 100% of your attention on kind of the task at hand and the performance. But, I'm a pretty good sport, so I didn't take it in the wrong way, I hope, and agreed to participate.
Now, David, what instrument do you play?
Double bass.
You play double bass. Mm-hmm. So is there any kind of clothes in particular that you wanted to wear that would make you feel comfortable while you were playing the instrument?
Yeah, that's a big consideration. Like, I always relish the opportunity to avoid having to wear a tails coat or a jacket just because it's restricting the... You know, playing bass is fairly physical, and so if I'm given the opportunity just to wear a button-down shirt and some jeans, I'm all for that.
And I understand that you recently lost a lot of weight and that affected the way you were dressing on Casual Friday?
Somewhat. I mean, it's just I had to cinch my pants a bit because I haven't quite gotten to the point where I'm ready to commit to buying new clothes, but I don't think it was terribly obvious to most people that I had lost any weight.
Now, Joel, why did you pick David here?
Well, David's not a bad dresser, I mean, in my opinion, except for the footwear issues when he would wear those.
He has issues with my footwear.
Yeah.
What was the footwear you had issues with?
I take some of my fashion cues. Well, not unfortunately, but I take some of my fashion cues from my 3-year-old, and so we do have matching Crocs and things like that that we will wear.
But David wears socks underneath his, which I thought was bold. And also, everything seemed a little loose on him because he just lost all that weight.
Yeah. All right.
No, there is that.
All right. Well, we're going to get into how this makeover took place, but I just want to remind people, if you want to join the conversation, the number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And just quickly, before we take a call, David, what was it like to have a stylist telling you what you should wear and what you shouldn't wear? Was it hard to let go of your old clothes?
No, I mean... I definitely tried to be open-minded. I mean, he brought out a few things where I said, oh, that looks great. I've got something just like that at home. And he immediately turned around and put those back on the rack because I think the idea was to try and maybe give me some options that I wouldn't choose on my own. But there were definitely some things that maybe would be considered fashionable that I was not either comfortable wearing on stage or thought that I would be comfortable playing in.
And how are the tight jeans going for you?
I'm still a little numb, but it was okay.
All right, we're going to see if we can get some calls in here. David from Sacramento, California is on the line. David, go ahead.
Hi, I'm in a symphony orchestra in Sacramento, the Sacramento Philharmonic, and I'm just fascinated by this discussion because I think we're in an age now where we've got to, I mean, audiences for classical music are way down, and young people coming out to hear us, you know, that's all way down, so... I'm trying to encourage our organization to look at playing on some celebrity and playing on some fashion and some of the things that actually draw in our younger crowd. They like it or not, we're in a very visual world now. And, the sports guys got all this cool gear and all this fashion stuff, but the symphony orchestras are, you know, still turn of the century stuff. So,
well, now that's curious. You're bringing up it's interesting. You're bringing up an interesting point, David. And I'd like to talk with you. We're talking about the fact that that the LA Philharmonic tried to do this instituting Casual Friday, but maybe it backfired because the clothes weren't fashionable enough. I mean, do you think if you do something like this that you've got to get the musicians to dress in a specific kind of way that's kind of hip or what?
Well, I just think you should play a bit more on logo. And I mean, Nike's masters of this, Tiger Woods, the whole, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking more along those lines. Getting contact with the musicians is great, but I guess I wonder what your fashion guy thinks about the idea of essentially marketing the orchestra. And maybe that's a little off topic, but...
I think it's all sort of part of it. Joel, what do you think? I don't know if he's the fashion guy or he brought in the fashion guys, but it's an interesting point. What do you think, Joel?
I like the idea. We get some Dolce & Gabbana involved in this. We get some Gucci. We brand the whole orchestra. I think he's thinking right.
Now, are you being serious, Joel, or are you making fun of this? I'm trying to figure it out.
You know, I'm not sure myself.
Okay, David, what do you think about it, David Alan Moore?
You know, honestly, as long as the concert and the music and the artistic presentation is at the center of what we're doing, I'm very open to kind of exploring different ways to present that. I think our organization is kind of positioned itself in a way to kind of be at the forefront of new ways of exploring those kind of things. But as soon as it distracts from the music, I think then that becomes an issue.
All right. Thanks for your call, David.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to go now to...
Our group is in front of a giant bass, so it doesn't much matter to him. It's the violinists who are probably more concerned.
Okay. Let's go to Robert from Oakland, California. Hi, Robert.
Hi. As a former high school trombonist, I know that all us brass players were a little bit cruder than the woodwinds, and I'm wondering if you noticed a difference in the capacity to be stylish in the different sections of the orchestra, where the percussion is different than the strings, or I just wondered what you noticed, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks, Robert. Joel?
Oh, we got to ask David this. He knows these people.
Yeah, but then he's got to betray his friends.
It's generally kind of a business casual atmosphere. Like I think that maybe one of the differences is in the casual Fridays, people aren't viewing it as like casual performance clothes. I think it's more people are thinking of what do they wear normally. You know, maybe a little bit dressed up, but just to kind of take the intimidation factor away of you know, for people that aren't used to coming to concerts and seeing 100-plus people up there in tails and evening gowns, something like that.
All right. Let me just remind listeners that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. All right, let's take another call now from Thomas.
I think that was smart to remind them at this point. To remind them a couple more times, probably.
Okay, I will. Thomas from Odessa, Texas. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. I just wanted to call and comment. I was an apprentice at the Santa Fe Opera, and I worked as orchestra/production services, and I got to work very closely with the orchestra, and I do know from experience that they can be some of the worst-dressed people in the world.
Like what? Can you give us some examples of people you saw?
Oh, you know, chacos with socks. They've got Bermuda shorts with long sleeves, all kinds of different things. I mean, you just see awful combinations. But one thing I did want to ask is they also seem to be sometimes challenged on as far as formal wear goes, not knowing you know, tuxedos have to have ties and certain things like that. And plus, the tuxedos nowadays are just so drab. It seems like they need to have a total remake done on them.
Are you a musician yourself, Thomas?
Yes, I am. I am a musician myself.
And do you consider yourself to be a good dresser and sort of your
colleagues
weren't?
I do know the difference between, you know, a cravat and different things like that.
What about you, David? Do you notice this about your fellow dressers? Is Thomas speaking the truth here? Your fellow musicians.
Again, I think, you know, one of the reasons why I went into classical music as maybe as opposed to other forms of music is there, for me, there was kind of an idealism of putting 100% of your energy into the music and the performance. And, you know, also, you know, when it comes to spending money or doing something like that, I have no problem spending $200 on bass strings, but seeing how much these jeans cost and how much the shirt cost and just the general price of fashion, I always think of it in terms of what would that get me in terms of instrumental equipment before I'm thinking about how I look. So that's kind of my perspective.
All right,
on it.
That makes total sense to me. That explains the whole thing, actually. I'm wondering how the other musicians reacted to your makeover, by the way.
Mild mocking, I think, is probably the best way to put it.
So they're not ready to take on a stylist, it sounds like.
No, I mean, everyone seemed to take it in the right way for the most part. You know, I think I got more grief about the jeans than anything else, except the shirt was fairly blousy, so that was kind of more of an underground event than anything else. But that was probably the thing I took the most chiding about.
And how did Bing do? There was a woman there who we gave a makeover to, who had, I think, on the last Casual Friday, even though she's like a size 2, worn her old maternity clothes.
She looked great. We didn't actually have any interaction, the three of us, that day, but everyone looked great.
All right, let's see if we can get one more call in here from Karen in Rochester, New York. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm calling. I'm just catching the very end of your show. I'm the author of a book, Stage Presence from Head to Toe, A Manual for Musicians, published by Scarecrow Press.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to maybe the last 10 minutes of your discussion with great interest. I argue in my book that casual dressing is not a great idea in orchestras.
Why?
Principally because it gives a visual aspect to the performance that's detracting from the music.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, when everybody's sort of trying to dress uniformly, you can stop looking at how everybody's dressed.
They just become part of the larger orchestra. You're not thinking of one person in particular. You're not focusing on one person.
Exactly. And, you know, there's an aspect of musical performance where people get thrilled by synchronicity. Well, a lot of people doing something in sync with each other. And a good example is a Marine drill team, where that's very thrilling to people to watch a Marine drill team. They're not even doing music.
Right.
They're just doing something together, and they look alike. There's something very, very focusing about that. And when you take the visual interest off the musicians, people can focus on what they're doing together.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Karen. Now, there's an interesting perspective that she wants to dress musicians, but she doesn't want to dress them in a casual way.
Can I disagree just for the fun of disagreeing?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Joel. You've got the last word.
That seems very Motown. It just seems like it's seeing everyone looking and moving the same way, I think in some ways may kind of blur you to the human individuality of the music. If I see it's just like people who are kind of normal people playing music, I think I'm more impressed or hear more individuality and differences in the instrument.
All right, Joel Stein, thanks so much for joining us. Joel Stein is a columnist for the LA Times. We were also joined by David Allen Moore, a bassist for the LA Philharmonic and adjunct professor of music at USC. I'm Lynn Neary. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.